although they made it out alive, it was definitely with a piece of them left back here.
Welkom vanuit het zonnetje bij Bevrijding Toen en Nu. We zitten in Groesbeek bij het Vrijheidsmuseum in Groesbeek. Mijn naam is Marcel en voor SMH 4045, het samenwerkingsverband van herinneringscentra en oorlogsmusea over de Tweede Wereldoorlog, ga ik naar 14 locaties, die 14 locaties van het samenwerkingsverband namelijk, en spreek daar met nabestaanden van de Tweede Wereldoorlog, ooggetuigen. En in dit geval een best wel bijzonder verhaal. Ik ga praten met de kleinzoon van een van onze de mensen die ons heeft bevrijd tijdens de Tweede Wereldoorlog. En zijn kleinzoon, want hij zelf heette Stanley, zijn kleinzoon Anthony zit naast mij. En daar ga ik zo mee praten. Dat doen we dan in het Engels. Want Anthony is een Amerikaan. En daarom gaan we de rest van de aflevering in het Engels doen. Als je zit te kijken, op YouTube kun je de ondertiteling meenemen. En als je op Spotify of een van de andere podcastplatforms luistert, dan gaan we een beroep doen op je geweldige Engels. Zie het als een training. Anthony, welcome.
Thank you.
When did you arrive in the Netherlands?
We arrived yesterday.
So how's the jet lag?
It was quite brutal yesterday. I spent about 48 hours awake before I finally got to get some rest. And I went to sleep and I woke up before the sun and I was good to go this morning.
Your grandfather was one of our liberators. He is one of the reasons that we can sit here today in peace and remember the Second World War like we do, liberated. What does it do to you to be here, back here? Because this is the first time for you to be in Europe, the first time for you to be in the Netherlands.
I mean, it's something that makes you speechless. I mean, how do you put words to seeing all this in person after hearing the stories over the years and knowing the stories of what my grandfather went through in World War II and the sacrifices he made, and now I'm walking in the land that is free because of his efforts. I mean, it's unreal. It's going to give me a great perspective by the end of the week when I see what the Netherlands holds for, you know, their gratitude and the celebration for the liberators and, you know, what efforts my grandfather put in. I'm very excited for this week.
Before we get to that, something about yourself. What do you do?
I'm a deputy program manager as a defense contractor for the United States Navy.
So were you inspired for your career at the Navy by your grandfather?
I did have inspiration from my grandfather. Mm-hmm. I knew my grandfather's story growing up. Honestly, as a child, I was terrified of the Army, knowing the stories of what he went through and watching what the Airborne had to go through in World War II. You know, that's some hardcore stuff. It's pretty scary. I didn't want to die, so I was hard pressed against joining the military growing up.
Yeah.
And as I got older, I got to the point where, you know, looking at what I want to do with my life and a career, and I gave college a try initially and decided that I wasn't ready to continue an education, but rather I would get into the workforce. And
yeah,
my options available at the time were really the military. And so I weighed my pros and cons with what I had, you know, to choose from between the different branches, and the Navy closely aligned with what I wanted to, you know, go towards as far as a technical discipline.
We're talking about your grandfather. His name is Stanley Anthony.
Anthony Nordahl, and that's where I got my name.
That's where you got your name. Now, Stanley, your grandfather passed when you were two, so you didn't get the chance to get to meet him or get to know him at all.
Correct.
You had to get to know him through stories and photographs, and maybe through reading. I don't know. Do you have the feeling that you got to know your grandfather after all?
At this point, I feel confident to say that I've done enough legwork in my own independent study, but also through the stories passed along from my grandfather's children, you know, yep, being my father, my Aunt Sandy, Aunt Bonnie, and Uncle Ron. They've all done great at passing along the stories, yep, passing it down to the next generation. As Native Americans, one of the biggest traditions is the oral tradition, passing down the stories. So,
how did your grandfather end up in the military and eventually helping liberating our country?
So my grandfather was born in 1922 and was a Red Lake Band of Chippewa Indians. He was a Chippewa Indian. In our language, that's Ojibwe. He was an Ojibwe. And he grew up there, to leave for an Indian boarding school in 1935 after his father died, who also had fought in World War I. So there is a little bit of history behind that side. He did not finish school. He went from the boarding school in Minnesota to Kansas, right? Yeah, Kansas for high school, but he didn't graduate high school. So that's how he got to the point where he left. And at that point, he traveled up to Red Lake, back to our reservation, and said goodbye to his family and headed to Camp Landing and down in Florida.
In the Army, what was his function?
He was a cryptographer.
What does a cryptographer do?
Decodes enemy transmissions.
Right.
So, you know, in this function, he was intercepting German codes behind German enemy lines and passing along those codes after they were decoded to U.S. Army and Navy.
Trying to puzzle out what the secret language of the enemy is.
To, you know, if there's talks about a location that particular unit of Germans was going to move to, you know, that would be transmissions that he would be able to intercept and pass along so that we could stage an attack or, you know, prepare for an attack if they were, you know, discussing how they were about to hit a U.S. target.
He was also a paratrooper.
He was.
Yeah.
So he would drop behind enemy lines on top of this in a parachute in the dark in enemy territory that he's never been in before, getting shot at, you know, other paratroopers with their parachutes getting shot. At that point, there's bullets flying through this tin can of a plane, and he said he couldn't have been happier to get out of that plane. You know, there was no fear for what lied ahead, but he knew he couldn't stay in that plane. And then that led to 6 combat jumps throughout World War II that he participated in. So
eventually he got captured by the Germans.
He did. He was captured as a prisoner of war alongside another paratrooper and missing in action for those 22 days that he was captured. That was quite a valiant story there, because he was captured and...
This was in a prison camp in Germany, right?
It was.
Yeah.
And there was a guard that would come by and drop off their food. And I guess back then they used to serve food in the tin cans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my grandfather saw an opportunity that he could get out if he was to fold the lid of the tin can and use that as the weapon to take out the guard. And that's exactly what happened. He slit the throat of the guard in front of him at the gate when he was giving him his food, and got his keys off his belt and escaped, and also freed his paratrooper next to him. And they were on the run from the Gestapo and linked up with the French underground.
Mm-hmm.
French underground held radios. My grandfather was cryptographer. Great function here. This was a great opportunity for him to take advantage of. And so he used the French radio from the underground to pass along the coordinates of the German units.
Yeah.
And to U.S. Army and Navy artillery, which took effective fire as a result. And then he returned to his platoon unharmed.
Now, those stories are heroic and beautiful to listen to. At the same time, your grandfather himself didn't speak much about what happened in the war.
That's true. You know, I've asked my dad countless times over the years for any extra stories that he could throw at me, but...
Mm.
There wasn't much. I mean, what he went through, I can't imagine. I mean, it's said that most of those men that were a part of all of that fell silent when they got home. They were very reserved. They did not want to relive the moments that they had to endure. Although they made it out alive, it was definitely with a piece of them left back here. So what we were able to get, you know, a lot of it came from my grandmother, who, being his wife, was able to get more out of him than us. But it really took the study of the battles that he jumped into, watching the movies, how things were dramatized, to really try to feel what he could have experienced.
Yeah.
And
is there one movie or a TV series that you especially
like to see to get the feeling of how it was?
So, A Bridge Too Far, mm-hmm. for the movie depicting the battle in Nijmegen, yeah. was a great one. And also Band of Brothers. Yeah, Band of Brothers did a really good job.
He was decorated?
He was.
For his services?
He received a Bronze Star. He also received a Purple Heart. He also received the Orange Lanyard from the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. He had citations from Belgium, France, Normandy. He has a long list of decorations.
Your grandfather went back to the Netherlands 9 years after the liberation.
He did. He came back in 1954 for the 10th year anniversary of the liberation. He came with his wife, Helen Nordwall, my grandmother.
Still alive.
She is still alive. Mm-hmm. She's 102. She'll be 103 in November. I always hear the stories about my grandfather and about their time here in Europe. And when she came back, she regards the trip to the Netherlands as one of her favorites because they were treated almost like royalty for coming back here. All these dinners thrown, you know, the stay was sponsored. It was very similar to what I'm experiencing this week with my father, that, you know, as the Netherlands respect the United States military and the Canadian military so much so that they're holding this exhibition this week, today in 2025, we're being hosted with all this, you know, this hospitality that I feel like they experienced back then. And that's unbelievable.
Your grandfather was decorated, also thanked by the Netherlands, other European countries, because he was present at such a key moment for our liberation and for the liberty of the rest of the country. What do you feel realizing that he was such a part of such a monumental moment in time?
Immense honor to even hold his name, to carry his name. That bar is set so high that I don't ever intend to try to reach it. I mean, he was pivotal in what he contributed to, not only for the Netherlands, but also for the Native Americans back in the United States, for the United States and their efforts in World War II, and down to what he did for our family. I have utmost gratitude for what he did. I mean, I'll never be able to thank him personally, but as long as I can carry along his stories with me and contribute any way that I can to honor his legacy, that'll be my way forward.
Ik schakel even terug naar het Nederlands, want we gaan zo verder praten over vrijheid. Maar voor nu even iets meer over het Vrijheidsmuseum hier in Groesbeek. Conservator Renze Havinga vertelt wat er hier zoal wordt gedaan. En dus ook over die nieuwe expositie die Anthony net al noemde, over inheemse bevrijders.
Ik ben Renze Havinga. Ik ben tentoonstellingmaker in het Vrijheidsmuseum in Groesbeek. We zijn hier in onze wisselexpositie over inheemse bevrijders. Dat is een tentoonstelling die wij hebben gemaakt met de Radboud Universiteit. Over Native American en First Nation Canadian soldaten die onderdeel waren van de bevrijding van Nederland. Het museum in het algemeen heeft als rode draad vrijheid. Met een focus op de Tweede Wereldoorlog in de context van de 20e eeuw. En we zijn hier op de landingsvelden van operatie Market Garden en het Rijnlandoffensief. Twee heel belangrijke veldslagen die hier hebben plaatsgevonden. Dus daar is natuurlijk veel over te vinden in het museum. We ontvangen natuurlijk heel veel scholen, maar we hebben ook veel leuke activiteiten voor kinderen, zoals een spionagetraining waar je leert over het verzet en over hoe spionnen werkten. En voor deze wisselexpositie hebben we een opdrachtenboekje met stickers, waar ze het verhaal van één soldaat kunnen ontdekken door een opdrachtentocht te doen. Stanley Nordwall is één van de soldaten die hier in Groesbeek geland is als parachutist en heeft gevochten. Nou, het kerndoel waarin ons museum is opgericht is om dat soort soldaten te eren en te herdenken. Dat we dat kunnen combineren met aandacht voor zijn inheemse achtergrond en de brede context van inheemse soldaten in het leger vinden we natuurlijk ontzettend mooi om te doen. Voor de opening van de tentoonstelling zijn we heel trots dat we een grote inheemse delegatie uit Amerika en Canada mogen ontvangen. Waaronder Anthony Nordwall, wiens opa in de tentoonstelling zit.
Anthony, we're still talking about your grandfather, Stanley. He was one of our liberators. How proud does that make you?
I mean, I couldn't be more proud to know these stories and know that I'm so closely tied to them because my grandfather was here and contributed to the liberation of the Netherlands. That's something I'll always have with me. I'm proud to carry that story with my family's name. I'll make sure that all the generations that follow me will know.
Yeah. One of the big challenges is to reflect on freedom and realize how much was put at stake for that freedom, for people that weren't there 80 years ago. How do you think we should reflect on freedom and liberty?
I think freedom is gained through perspective, or gained through sacrifice, but to understand freedom, you must have perspective. So you have to know these stories. You have to dive into the history. You have to be present with these types of exhibitions that go over what happened and why are we here today. You have to ask yourself that question, and then you need to search for that answer. Don't always rely on what you're told. You know, investigate yourself, contribute some self-study, and really learn the depths of what the cost was for the freedom that you live with today. That's crucial. Otherwise, you're taking it for granted, and it's not something that should be taken for granted.
It's not something that should be taken for granted, but you say it's a sacrifice. Freedom is a sacrifice.
It takes someone who's willing to put their life on the line in any capacity to have the result of freedom on the back end. And it's with a risk, because you're risking your life, but you're also risking, is putting your life on the line enough for the freedom for you to have freedom at the end of it. My grandfather put his life on the line countless times, and many, many thousands of others did the same and lost their lives. But look at what we have today because of that. You really need to understand the depths of what that sacrifice meant to the generation that went through it, so that multiple generations later, here today, we are still living with that freedom from the sacrifices they made.
We're looking back, reflecting on what happened 80 years ago, the people that sacrificed their lives for us to live in freedom. Nowadays, how do you feel the current unrest in the entire world?
Well, it definitely makes one uneasy when you look at it from, you know, the surface level of what's put out by the media and the news. It's fear-provoking. It definitely makes you nervous. You don't know what you're able to look at that's positive. And so I personally don't focus on the negative that's put out by, you know, mainstream media. I like to remove myself from, you know, the big headlines that are being put out all the time, because if that's all you focus on, you're going to live in nothing but a life filled with stress and anxiety, and it's not going to feel like you have any form of peace. But if I walk away from my phone or my TV and I go outside and walk around and I hear the birds and I see the sun shining, you know, there is peace. It's not in my yard. It's not in my front yard or my backyard. It's in places that I'll likely never be, inside of, you know, political offices and, you know, government agencies talking to each other, and these global conflicts. But global conflicts have always existed. There's always unrest in the world. Without unrest, you wouldn't have freedom, because it takes the sacrifice during a time of unrest in order to gain freedom on the back end of it, right? So, you know, that's what I put out today. If, you know, we have this amount of unrest in the world today, it takes the people that are in a generation currently that can provide a sacrifice to fight through this unrest and provide continued freedom for multiple generations to come, just as our grandfathers did.
Would that also be your advice for the youngest generation, dealing with anxiety because of this unrest in the world and a lot of wars, maybe fearing that it might be coming their way? Put away the phone, don't read everything that's on the news.
I mean, it's good to know what's going on in the world. You do have to hear it, but don't hear it from just one source. You gotta really get a well-rounded picture. Hear it from both sides, hear it from all sides if you can. And you don't have to agree with the particular side that you're listening to, but at least hear what they're saying. Really what it takes, like I said, is it takes perspective, and I don't think you're going to gain that perspective until you dedicate the time to learn why you live the life that you live today. Even if this life is a little bit in a time of unrest, it is significantly better than the life of someone in the 40s in Europe, right? Or even in the United States as well. It put yourself in uncomfortable situations, put yourself out there, challenge yourself to learn what, you know, our last 100 years have looked like, and then tell me how much unrest you feel like we actually are in today. I think right now it's a battle for freedoms. We have an abundance of freedoms because of what happened in the 40s. Mm-hmm. And now it's all these freedoms are at stake, but more and more freedoms are always allotted into daily life. And I think people need to step back. I think they need to look at history again, because I think it's getting, at least I don't see it here in the Netherlands, you know, considering how devoted you all are to commemorating this. But in other parts of the world, I think what happened in the 40s is, it's forgotten. It's not studied as much. It's not common knowledge. And that's really saddening, but it's also disheartening, because you have generations today that don't know. They don't understand why we live the life we live today and what it cost back in the 40s. Without understanding that, people are going to take these freedoms for granted. They are going to expect more and more freedoms to be handed out to them without them having to put anything forward. They don't have to sacrifice anything. And that's not how we move forward. We need to understand the past so that we can plan for the future.
I know you already answered the question a little bit, but I'm just going to ask it because it's the last question I ask everyone for this interview. If you could say what freedom means for you in one sentence, what would it be?
That's a tough question. To wrap it into one sentence.
Make it two.
Freedom means understanding the past, but gaining perspective. You have to put yourself out there. You have to be willing to sacrifice something in order to have freedom on the back end of it. Find a way. Find a way or make one. That was the slogan of my ship. I pre-commissioned the USS Minneapolis St. Paul, LCS 21. It's a littoral combat ship. And that was our saying. I will either find a way or I will make one.
I want to thank you a lot for making time for us in this special week for you guys. You're here. En thanks for joining our podcast.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Dan was dit Bevrijding Toen en Nu voor deze aflevering vanuit Groesbeek bij het Vrijheidsmuseum. Mijn naam is nog steeds Marcel Bamberg. Dit was Anthony Noordwall over zijn grootvader Stanley. Deze aflevering kon je terugkijken, dan kon je de ondertitels zien, dat is op YouTube. Je kunt alles altijd luisteren op alle podcastplatforms. En wil je niks missen, abonneer je dan en laat ons vooral weten wat je ervan vindt. Dat vinden wij leuk en dat is goed voor de podcast. Tot volgende.